Welcome, Irish fans, back for another edition of Under the Golden Dome with your hosts, Michael Stonebreaker, Wes Pritchett, Frank Stams, the three ND amigos of Notre Dame's last championship team in 1988. Talking Notre Dame football. Florida State coming off the bye week and, you know, and the win against Navy. Looking at Florida State, and Wes is sporting his guns. Dude, you are in good shape, brother. Tell everybody, what, 2 1-hour?
I work out with a trainer twice a week for 1 hour. That's it. I don't do anything else. Nothing.
Damn. And this trainer is?
Great story, Frank. Good. What nice lead in. His name is Lawton Heidrick. He was the strength coach at Tech, played linebacker at Georgia Tech, that is. And he recruited me in 1984 at Westminster.
And he's now your trainer?
And he's been my trainer for 20 years.
Nice. Yep. Nice. Now, you know, for Irish fans that are tuning in, Wes is from Atlanta, and when he got to Notre Dame, the sun rose and the sun set on Atlanta. So there wasn't anything you ever want to know about Atlanta. Just ask me, because I know.
That's funny, Frank.
The first thing I learned about Wes was that he's from Atlanta.
No, Hotlanta.
Hotlanta. That's Hotlanta for you.
Right.
Listen, I'll tell you like my dad told Dan Butler. Say, well, we got a very nice country club. You know, we got a nice country. I don't know, but your game doesn't look that good. I think the public course would be nice for you. The public course, not necessarily the private course.
Dude, your parents, Ken and Elise, were the quintessential Southern couple.
They were.
And Stoney, you may know this story. I'm sure you've heard it. Spring break, it would have been 1986. Spring break, you and some guys, and I was supposed to be in that car, but I was in a hospital bed getting surgery the next day, traveled to Florida for spring break and made a pit stop in Atlanta. And I'll crash at your place, and your parents were so excited to have the boys there. And in the morning, this is the best. In the morning, you know, they're trying to – you got limited time with the guys – because they got to get back on the road. Who was on that trip? Do you remember?
Well, there's two different trips. There was one particular trip. The older guys were coming back from Florida. So it was Plants, Scannell, maybe Johnny Askin. There was like all the offensive linemen. Sean Heffern, maybe.
Right.
And they called, and they were coming through Atlanta, and they stopped. So my mom had basically no time to get ready. And they showed up and she cooked, you know, this amazing Southern breakfast, homemade biscuits, eggs, bacon, grits, you know, the whole nine yards. So I think there was there was another trip. I don't know, Frank. We would always
the famous quote the of all time.
That was with Butler. That was a different trip.
Okay. So Butler and the gang were on the trip. Dave Butler, linebacker, Toledo, Ohio, year ahead of us, Wes and I. So there are the guys are having breakfast, and Elise is cooking up the storm. And Elise and Ken are talking to the guys, and they're both talking at the same time. And finally, the story goes, Ken turns to Elise and says, "Mama, you do the cooking, and I'll do the talking."
That's a fact. Dave Butler looked at me, and I said, "My mom just turned around and started cooking." Different times, Frank.
See, that back then, Frank. What they did was on the way down, they saved money on gas because they were going south, so it was downhill. Right. And then when they had to go back to South Bend, it was uphill the whole way, so it cost them
twice
more money.
As much. That's right.
Yeah. All right. Florida State's up next. The playoff picture keeps getting rosier and rosier and rosier as the weeks go by for Notre Dame. Notre Dame keeps getting better and better and better. But my God, please. I was listening to Marcus Freeman talk in his pregame and how to prepare and how to guard against the success that you have and going in each week. And I want to tell them, first of all, don't call it success. It's not successful. You don't have a successful season until the end of the season. And either you're winning the national championship or you're in the top five. Or I mean, I would consider that a successful season, or even the top 10. And I know Notre Dame's close there. But my point being is don't give any of the players any hint that what they've done so far is where you want to be. It's successful.
Last week is over, and you haven't played this week, so you have not been successful this week. That's all you need to worry about.
Yeah. Remember this. Lou was so good at that. Did he ever tell us we were successful? Even after we won the national championship? I'm not sure he did.
No, I think I saw him a month ago, and he told me that I still wasn't successful.
Yeah, I mean, he did such a good job. I don't know. He was very good at keeping us focused, thinking that we weren't very good, not reading our press clippings, and staying on the task at hand, which you're only as good as your next, you know, is your next game. So,
right. So
you know, Notre Dame's got. I mean, we said it a couple of weeks ago. If they went out, I think they've got no chance. I mean, they've got no problem getting into the playoff because they're already ranked inside the top 12. So, you know, but they got to stay focused and they got to be careful of a team like Florida State that's going to play, you know, as hard as they can. But I don't think they're not playing very well.
No, I appreciate what Marcus. I think we're on the same page with Marcus, but he's got to quit framing it like that.
And I agree.
And he's got to frame it like what Mike said, is the success. The success is short lived. It's, you know, the 24-hour rule. But okay, but looking at Florida State, yeah, a lot of talent. A lot of talent at Florida State. I always thought that their defensive linemen, man, you know, were some of the best. I mean, we mentioned Deion going to Florida State. That's the kind of talent, Deion Sanders, that's the kind of talent they attract there. They've been struggling at the quarterback position due to injuries. And because of the merry-go-round of quarterbacks, they're completing the ball at a dismal, less than 50%, 49% completion rate, and that's just pathetic. Been sacked 30 times on the season. That gives me a lot of hope for Notre Dame's front four. You know, not really doing anything on the ground, not scoring a lot of points, just the offensive production is horrible. But having said that, they're still dangerous.
Yeah, they can put it together, and they can come out and play hard. You're going to hope that the coaches get those guys prepared. It's always, you know, big against Notre Dame. And so, once again, we're going to see how the head coach did preparing this team after a bye to get them focused and not be reading their press clippings and focus on running the ball, passing the ball. Florida State's defense is giving up a lot of points. It's a good opportunity for our defense to shut them down and not give their quarterbacks any good looks and give them any confidence whatsoever.
Yeah, I saw. Like, I agree with you. I was at the, you know, early on. I was in Ireland for the Georgia Tech Florida State game. Florida State, I think, was preseason, they were ranked very high. They had They were very active in the transfer portal. They got DJ, I don't know how to say his last name, Oma Ungale, the quarterback in his 19th year. And then they end up losing to Georgia Tech, and it's been sort of downhill since then. They really have not had a very good year. We know they have a lot of talent, but I think it's what Mike said. Notre Dame needs to just be true to it, to its who they are. I think they can absolutely dominate. They should dominate the line of scrimmage, run the ball down their throat, Riley Leonard sprinkle in some passes, and play good defense and not turn the ball over. Kind of the formula they've been using. I would think it would work against Florida State. You never know. We'll see. It's a bye week, like you said. Will they show up and play? I don't know.
Well, that was a real shocker. As you guys know, that was a real shocker over there in Ireland. You know, Wes, you witnessed it firsthand. Florida State was a big favorite in that, and everybody left scratching their head thinking, what just happened? And I remember the next week, they come back and play Boston College. And thinking that, oh, yeah, they'll rebound strong, and then they lose to Boston College the following week. So you've been beginning to think that, you know, there's more cockroaches in that locker room than we think. I think, you know, so I don't know. I'm not close to the program. You know, I'm not in the program. I don't know. I know that they're not living up to the, but certainly their potential. But I will say this. Coming into this game, you know, Notre Dame's perspective, and Mal Moore, and Wes, you knew Mal a lot better than me. I think Mal recruited you. Or no, he wasn't there yet. Was he there yet? Or he recruited
you? No. Mal Moore was the reason one of the reasons I went to Notre Dame. Right. He recruited me. He was very much, he had a great relationship with my parents. He was very, you know the whole story with Mal.
Yeah, well,
Mal played quarterback at Alabama. He coached. Right. Quarterbacks at Alabama. He coached under Bear Bryant, played under Bear Bryant. He had been there forever and left to come to Notre Dame, and he was there only, what, 2 years?
Not long.
2 years?
He was gone before I got there, so I think it was just 2 years.
But what the greatest part about Mal Moore is that he went back to Alabama and became athletic director and hired Nick Saban. And the athletic facility that my son is now going to be spending every day in is the Mal Moore Athletic Facility. It's kind of a weird full circle, if you will. But yeah, I knew Mal was a great guy. You know, Frank, he was the greatest. I mean,
he was my position coach.
We used to try to listen to his pregame speech before the game. Everybody would be listening to what he had to say to you guys. Why don't you tell us one of his? How he would give you guys pregame speeches and what he'd say.
Well, I remember one thing, and it was, you know, it was a lot of Southern culture, and even, you know, involved in what.
Well, Frank, are you a Yankee?
Yeah. So, but I appreciate it, guys. You know, I mean, I certainly respected Mal, and Mal really was, and what I had heard was looking as Notre Dame as a stepping stone to a head coaching position. Unfortunately, we weren't successful under Jerry. And, you know, that went by the wayside. Our paths crossed again when, you know, he ended up coaching with Gene Stallings, another Alabama guy, with the Arizona Cardinals, and he was on the sidelines. But Mal used to say, and I'll never forget this, he said, you know, he was all about effort, you know, playing the game. He had a great perspective on the game. He said, now listen, he goes, if you don't give great effort out there, he goes, and we lose the game, or whether we win or lose, after the game, he goes, your daddy will shake your hand. If you didn't give great effort, your daddy won't squeeze it. But if you did, he will squeeze your hand. Something along those lines. And I thought,
no, he was talking about how he'd look in your eye. I thought it was something about looking in your eye too.
Yeah, it was. I mean, he got deep in the weeds with some of his sayings, and I appreciated that because he had such a great pedigree at Alabama and under.
And now sometimes you get a little deep in your weeds with some of your.
I get a little lost in the weeds, right? But he would always say this, too. And this was one of his pregame speeches. He said, you know, teams come into Notre Dame with a certain amount of doubt whether or not they can compete and they can win at Notre Dame. And that's that Notre Dame mystique. And he said, if you let them hang around, and he said, you don't play well, and you give them that confidence early on, he goes, then going into the second half, they actually do think they can win the game. And I think this is a perfect game for that. If Notre Dame lines up and really dominates, gets their defense off the field on third down, which Marcus wants to do, they limit the penalties, don't have any turnovers, they execute on well, control the ball. If they, and when I say dominant, that's what I mean. Play a really good, sound, clean football first half and execute well, then Florida State will fold its tent in the second half, and it'll be a lot easier in the second half than it will be certainly if they don't.
Yeah. Remember, Lou used to always say that everybody's they eventually they're going to flinch. And I think, you know, I think that's what will happen. I think if Notre Dame comes out and just and plays their game, doesn't have turnovers, plays fast, gets up, you know, instills their will or whatever, forces their will upon them. I mean,
right. You would like to see them, you know, we talk about it every week, and you'd like to see them come out and punch them right in the mouth, you know, on the opening drive. Okay. Either shut them down or, you know, run right down the field and get some points on the board and, you know, start the game off that way to set a tone for the next four games here that, you know, that we belong here and we're going to take this the rest of the way.
No, you bring up a great point. This is a good chance because there's some, you know, there's some still doubters out there. I don't know who's ranking the teams, if it's the sports writers, the other coaches, or, you know, it's the NCAA or whatever, who determines getting in the playoffs. But, you know, they're talking, there's some question with that NIU loss. There's some question of whether or not Notre Dame should be in the
Texas A&M loss this past weekend.
Well, I was going to say that. Our best win by far had been Texas A&M. They got smoked by South Carolina.
That hurt a little bit.
South Carolina looked good. Holy cow. You know, South Carolina, their quarterback's been hurt. That guy, man, when he's healthy, they're as good as anybody. They really, if you go back and look, South Carolina, they got beat. Ole Miss beat them. They had a game that Ole Miss beat them pretty well. But
Ole Miss is kicking the shit out of people.
Yeah, they're good. They lost to Alabama by 2 points at Alabama, and they should have had – they had LSU beat, and they called a pick six back, and they ended up losing by a couple points to Ole Miss – I mean to LSU. But
well, I'll tell you what I like about South Carolina, and I know they've got some players, but I'll tell you, that coach – isn't it Frank Beamer's son there?
Yeah. My son loved him, by the way.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved him.
Yeah.
I got to meet – we spent some time with him. He's one of those guys that you know he's not full of shit. Like, he's a real nice guy. He genuinely cares. Seriously.
Oh, that's good. I like it.
I mean, he was, of all the coaches, he was the only coach that came to my kid's school and went into his dorm room and sat with him in his dorm room and, like, hung out with him.
Nice.
That's interesting. I don't know what that means.
No, that's...
No, he really liked him. He just wasn't going to go to South Carolina. I wasn't going to let him. Ah.
No, that's... That's very interesting. And, you know, and really, and Holtz ended up at South Carolina. And he takes that program in, I think, what, 2 or 3 years? Shit, he's beaten Ohio State in the bowl game. And that's, to me, that's, you know, what I'm saying is the head coach makes a difference. You know, they can turn chicken salad or chicken shit into chicken salad. And
no, I think, you guys know this. I mean, look at Notre Dame. I mean, do you think what we had great talent before Lou got there? Lou gets there, all of a sudden we win. I mean, I think Alabama had great players, but Nick Saban was the reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, coaching absolutely makes a difference in college.
Well, Lou's first year was my first year also, Wes. So you've got that.
Exactly. So when you guys came in, everything went up. I mean, we had, you know, we went from the outhouse to the penthouse.
There you go.
Now he brought in some talent, Mike.
Dude, you know, Stoney's year. I mean, Stoney's, that's probably his best recruiting class. Think about the guys in your class.
And they talked about how bad the recruiting class was, right? But
that year they did.
Yeah.
She had you,
Tony Rice,
T. Light,
Carroll, Stam, not T. Light,
Sagala.
McCullough, Anthony Grunbard. Johnson, Anthony Johnson, who else did we have? We had everybody.
Ricky
had,
Waters?
No, he was behind us.
What year behind you?
Braxton Banks was my year.
Hey,
that's a stacked team. Stacked year, I mean.
Yeah. So, all right, where were we? We're at on Florida State. Yeah, you give them some hope, and you know they'll make the game close. They got their troubles, but if you pound them, I think, you know,
you pound them. That last game, they gave up a lot of bomb plays. They gave up a couple turnovers. they're just not playing as a good unit right now. And
he's
so,
lost the locker room in that team.
It seems like it. Then I think you're going to find that, I think, with a lot of teams, especially in this NIL era, that, you know, once the hope for a winning season is gone, they're still getting paid no matter what. So I think you're going to lose a lot of locker rooms. And folks,
and I think they've made such a big deal now about the 12-team. I totally agree. And the big deal now with the 12-team, like if you're not in the 12-team playoff, who cares, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah, listen, I wouldn't say North Carolina's having their best year, and they just blew out Florida State last week. So,
right. Yeah, well, it's definitely a game they should win. And getting back to the original thought there, this is an opportunity now for Notre Dame really to start pouring it on. I mean, they're like a 25-point favorite. And for these people that, you know, are ranking the teams and seeing who's going to be in the playoff, this is a perfect opportunity this week, next week against Virginia, and the following week, I forget who they have, but I do know they have Army left in Southern Cal, is a perfect opportunity for Notre Dame to finish out strong and say, hey, yeah, we definitely belong in the playoff. And not only that, but get up there where you're ranked, where is it, 5 through 8, so that you can actually host a game. That would be really, really key.
Yep, and keep putting those, you know, 40 points on the scoreboard and have your defense out there keeping guys under 20 points, man, and you're dominating, you know? If you can continue that streak and shut people down and impose your will on them, then no matter what the strength of the remaining teams are, you know, it's going to put you in a good spot, and they're going to have to put Notre Dame in a at least number 5, right?
They will be. Well, I mean, look, like you said, one team has scored over. Well, Northern Illinois scored 16 points. Nobody else has scored more than that except Louisville, 24. So, we've been saying it all year. I think that the defense is really good, and they seem to be relatively healthy. Flying around. I think Al Golden's a very good coach, one of the best coordinators probably out there. And so the offense is gelling every week and getting better, not turning the ball over, and you're playing good defense. You know, we got the guys, too. I saw the game at Georgia Tech game. It was there. I've never seen Notre Dame substitute guys like that on defense. Their D-line, the linebackers, they're absolutely two guys across playing in the games. And playing like with no and not going down from the first group to the second group. So I think we're deep. I think we've got the guys.
You know, that's good depth, right? That's good camaraderie. You know, it's not just 11 guys out there. Everybody's contributing. Everybody's putting, giving an effort. Everybody gets credited for it. So that's good for the team.
So when I look at Florida State's numbers, and I'm looking at them now, I mean, total points they're averaging per game is 14. That's not strong. Total first downs 128. The rushing first downs are 42 versus the passing first downs at 76. You know, that says to me that they're playing behind the sticks a lot. They don't have a ground game. If they're staying on the field on third down, which they're right now at 25%, which is dismal, if they're staying on the field at third down, it's through the pass. So Notre Dame certainly, you know, two things. Wants to get that pass rush. We mentioned the 30 sacks. It'd be a great game for these guys to build some confidence, tee off, just lay their ears back and go. You know, win on first and second down, and then on third down, just really dominate both up front and then in the secondary. Jump the receiver. I don't believe the quarterback's going to be playing with a lot of confidence. So, take some chances. And looking at the rest of it, as far as their turnovers, time of possession, 25 minutes. That's not strong. So it's definitely a
Notre Dame needs to get out there. Notre Dame needs to get out there and punch them in the mouth and take their spirit away. And none of that matters. Just beat them up from the first snap and dominate the game and just shut them out. It's just
the last two games. Their last two games, they lost to North Carolina 35-11 and Miami 36-14.
Irish fans, you're under the Golden Dome with your hosts, Michael Stonebreaker, Wes Pritchett, Frank Stams, three ND Amigos linebackers from the 88 National Championship team, breaking down this year's 2024 Irish. I think it's a great setup for Notre Dame to have a big blowout again. I think it sets well. I think Notre Dame plays fast on defense. They're strong against the run. Those linebackers led by Kaiser, he can fly. I think their secondary is strong. We saw what they were able to do.
You know, Florida State's 1-8, right? I didn't realize that. They've lost five in a row. 1-8. It's what Mike said. They need to go out there and just punch them in the mouth and take their will away right away and let the young guys play half the game. Rest your studs and get ready for next week.
And it's a 7:30 kickoff. I'm gonna be in South Bend this weekend to root on the Irish and watch them out there with the Seminoles.
Yeah, I think you're driving.
Nice.
Aren't you driving up with your daughter, Ophelia?
Yeah, I'm driving up with my daughter. We're going to spend a week. We're going to have a good time.
Are you really going up there for a week?
Yeah. I'm going to go to next week's game also. I'm going to go to the game out in New York. I'm all about supporting the Irish and seeing how we finish up this season.
So
is the Army game in New York?
In New York.
Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
So they're going to play in MetLife Stadium and Yankee Stadium.
Right.
Huh. Right. That's pretty cool.
And so how this?
I've got a daughter that goes to school up there, so she's going to come and she's going to go to that game.
Nice.
You're a good dad.
Mm-hmm.
So how
this? Where is she at NYU?
She's in Pennsylvania, at a school in Pennsylvania.
Tomato, tomato, New York, Pennsylvania.
Yes. I don't want to give up where her location is.
Well, you are watching Under the Golden Dome with Wes Pritchett, Frank Stams, and Mike Stonebreaker. Three, Notre Dame, Amigos. And all Americans.
So, and the way the 88 Amigo linebackers want to give back to the cause in Notre Dame's NIL effort, rally, and also holds us heroes that work with. Reggie Brooks does a great job. Is through our website IR88SH. Or N88D.com. N88D.com. You can buy the championship apparel, and a portion of the proceeds do go to Notre Dame's NIL effort through Rally, and then also to Holtz's Heroes. And Wes came out with a wonderful idea this morning regarding some Amigo wear. So there's some Amigo wear soon to be coming to the website. So stay tuned.
That website is 3N. ndamigos.com.
Okay. Free ndamigos.com coming soon.
What did you say it was, Mike? I can't hear you.
Free ndamigos coming soon.
3ndamigos.com.
That's it. 3ndamigos.com.
Now you got to remember that's coming soon. So if you go to that, I don't know if there's anything going to be there. So be aware. We'll probably try to get something up by the end of the end of the year. Okay, all right. So, what do you guys want to see? What do you guys want to see Notre Dame do versus Florida State? What do you want to see them? You know, how do they get better against Florida State other than just executing at a high level?
They run the ball offensively. They run the, you know, they do what they've been doing. They've been passed. We want them to run the ball. We want them to dominate the run. But they're starting to get some 20-yard passes downfield. Not a lot over the middle, but they're getting some 20-yard passes downfield. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Dominate the game. Throw the ball to your receivers. Let them score some touchdowns so they feel good about themselves. Let your running backs, let the third-string running backs score some touchdowns. Put 48 up there again this week and have your defense dominate, shut them down. Let's give their offense 13 points. Two field goals and one touchdown. Game's over.
Well, this reminds me of a situation after the Texas A&M game, Frank, where I started talking about the probability of Notre Dame. They had the highest probability of making the college football playoff at the time because of their schedule, and they beat Texas A&M, and we had gotten past the next game at hand. And Northern Illinois came in there, punched us in the face, and won the game. And I hope that Stoney is right. I mean, what they need to do is exactly what he said. Now the question is the head coach going to get them prepared to play and come out there, punch them in the face, and play hard and not have a lapse? So we'll see. I'm hopeful.
Yeah, we will see. And, you know, I look for him to do all the above. You know, I mean, you know, protect the quarterback. I want to see Riley Leonard throw the ball with some more accuracy. You know, he's getting, you know, as Mike mentioned, he's getting better. Jeremiah Love, I think, is one of the premier running backs in college football, averaging almost 7 yards a carry. You know, I think at this time, I want to see that offensive line and the defensive line start coming together more, limit the number of sacks against Florida State, if any, or pressures. Really control the line of scrimmage. I want to see a lot of, you know, second and shorts, third and shorts. Keep the, you know, those drives, those 12, 13 play drives. Defensively, playing behind the sticks. Create some turnovers, get some interceptions. Just really, you know, win in every phase. Something that they're going to need in the playoffs. And, you know, to be honest with you, you know, this team's got a lot of potential. And Marcus Freeman talks about that a lot. And if they start living up to their potential, you know, they will win that first playoff game. They get a draw like, you know, maybe Tennessee. They get a draw like maybe I don't know if Iowa State won, but they get a draw like maybe Indiana. Indiana could make it. You know, then they advance, and then it gets exciting. So, well, good. Well, I appreciate the time. Let's do some predictions for the game. I think it's a 25-point favorite.
48-13. Thank you.
Nice.
48-13?
Correct.
42-14. Really stepping out there. Well, that was kind of what I already had in mind. 6 touchdowns to 2. I mean, that's where it's going to fall, I think.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'll say 45-17.
There you go.
All right,
we're really standard deviating there. But yeah, I mean, look, the bottom line is Notre Dame's getting better, like you said, Frank. I think they're on a roll. They should be healthy coming off this bye week, and I think Florida State's a dumpster fire. So we'll see. I mean, I hope it comes to fruition. So,
Mike, any sound bites you want to shed on?
Also, we're going through my head. I'm not going to share, but yeah, they really need to win the game and win it convincingly and not have any setbacks. Thank you.
I'll tell you, I have something. Let's just real briefly talk about some of the games coming up this weekend. What do you guys – well, I had two questions. First of all, what do you think about this Indiana team?
How about
that? And secondly, unbelievable. And then secondly, what do you think about the Alabama-LSU game coming up this weekend with Brian Kelly? Frank?
Well, let me say on Indiana, and that's funny, I was having this conversation with a guy today. You know, most of their players or starters on that team are through the portal.
It all came from James Madison.
James Madison. I understand that there's eight players that came with him from James Madison, which is impressive, but also, you know, I mean, all very impressive because, you know, I mean, they're winning some quality games, Indiana is. I mean, you know, when I say quality games, I'm not saying they're beating Texas. They're not beating Alabama, but they're beating.
Well, they got to play.
They're
beating. I think they got Michigan and Ohio State, or Penn State and Ohio State. What is their record coming up? Who do they play? Is our schedule?
I know they got Ohio State in a couple of weeks, so that'll be and they got them at Columbus. So I don't think they're fare well there, but I do think that they will finish the season with one loss. Now, whether or not that gets them into the playoff, I don't know.
All right. They got Michigan, Ohio State back-to-back.
I think they can beat Michigan.
They got Michigan at home this weekend, which I watched that Michigan. Who did Michigan play? Oregon.
Right.
Michigan, they did not look that great.
Indiana's got the storied tradition, and maybe they come in and they beat Michigan and they beat Ohio State their last two games.
That'd be an awesome story.
And they wind up undefeated. That would be awesome.
They'll be in the top five if they do that.
No, 100%. They deserve to be. If they beat Michigan and Ohio State and end up being undefeated, then they deserve to be in the top five. Well, they will be in the top five. Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Are they going to, because they're having the playoff now with the top 12 teams, are they still going to have the conference championship games?
Yes.
They are. Okay.
Ohio State, looks like Ohio State will play Oregon, which I think is a tragedy. I think they need to do away with the conference championship games. That's just too much football.
I think the conference championships had a point, had a place when there was four teams. And I agree with you. I think now with the 12-team playoff,
the better teams are going to be knocking each other off.
That's what happened. You know, the SEC did that to each other. Alabama twice won the national championship because they didn't have to play in the SEC championship game.
Well, right. I could be mistaken, but from what I understand, the seeding's going to take place before the conference championships.
Oh, really?
I could be wrong.
So then those games don't
matter.
Still
another, but then why play the game? I don't know.
Right.
That's right.
I guess it'd be conference champions, but then are you going to play? But here's the deal. So if you know you're in the playoffs, are you going to play? I would play any of my guys in that game.
Right.
Right.
Who cares? All right, fine. We lost the conference championship. We won the national championship. Who cares, right? I mean, I don't know. That seems – I don't know the answer.
Yeah, no, it's just too much football. It's too much football.
Yeah, they're already playing 12 games instead of 11, and now if you make it into the theoretically, if you're a 9 through 12 team, you can play three games, right? Three more games, so you play 15 games. I mean, hell, let's get back. That's almost the NFL.
Right. No, you're right.
Well, they are getting paid. So.
They are getting paid.
Yeah, careful what you wish for.
LSU, Alabama, my favorite, well, a great place to play college football is LSU on a Saturday night.
No doubt. We played down there.
Tailgate, and, you know, they're right there on four yards from the field, on top of the field. The electricity in that stadium is pretty unbelievable.
And where was your second? If you wouldn't have gone to Notre Dame, what was your second choice, Mike?
For me?
I was going to go to LSU. It was between LSU and Notre Dame.
Okay, you'd have gone to LSU?
Mm-hmm. Georgia.
You'd have gone to Georgia? What'd you like about LSU?
What not to like?
It was a fun place to visit.
What was it about Georgia that you liked, Wes?
Let's just put it this way. I think the world is a safer place with me at Notre Dame than at Georgia. And I would probably be dead if I had gone to the University of Georgia. I don't know how it would have been very difficult to manage that environment. Notre Dame was exactly where I needed to be. I didn't think about it. I didn't think it was, but it was.
You know, I think that was the fun part about recruiting and getting calls. And I can remember I had my five visits set, and there was a guy here locally that ran a tire shop, and the boss was a big Mississippi. They, you know, it was a retail shop, but the boss was in big a Mississippi alum. And the guy was begging me. He was begging me to say, hey, will you just take a trip? They'll send a plane up for you and they'll get you. You know, I'm nervous because that would have been my sixth visit. That would have been a violation. He says, don't worry, we won't, you know, nobody needs to be the wiser on this. But the fun part about that, I was getting calls from the Mississippi recruits. And, you know, they were the young ladies down there saying, hey, Frank, when you coming down to see us? And, you know, for an 18-year-old kid, getting phone calls like that, you know, I tell you,
Frank,
man,
if you had gone to the Grove, I don't know that you would have ever made it to Notre Dame, bro.
You know, it just leaves me to wonder, and, you know, and at the time, I was like, wow, you know, there was a lot of visuals that I was drawing from that, those conversations, so, but I, SEC football, man, I tell you, there's nothing like it. I wish I would have experienced, you know, I've never been to one of those games. Like,
well,
you know,
I got news. You are invited to an Alabama game anytime you want to go.
Yeah. No, I'm in with both feet. Right.
It's pretty amazing. I got to be honest with you. We were at the. I had never been to an Alabama game in Tuscaloosa because remember we played them in Birmingham.
I'd never been to a game in
Tuscaloosa, and the first game I went to was that Georgia Alabama game this year. So that was a pretty crazy electric environment. That was wild. It was every bit as wild as LSU, if you can believe
that. I thought you were going to say every bit as wild as Flanner Hall.
Yeah, it was every bit as wild as Flanner Hall. It wasn't Zom, but it was definitely wild.
Zom on a Thursday night? That place was...
Woo! Right after bingo and karaoke? Man, crazy times.
Dorm pizza?
Crazy. Woo! I think it was. Did it go bingo, karaoke, checkers? What was the sequence?
I think that was it.
Well, Irish fans, you've been listening to the latest episode of Under the Golden Dome. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining your hosts, Michael Stonebreaker, Wes Pritchard, Frank Stams. We all got Notre Dame winning big, covering the spread this week against a dismal Florida State 1-8. And, you know, we'll meet again this time next week. So thanks for joining us, and go Irish.
Go Irish!
This is
Alumni Media.